BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
I wrote a column yesterday about a six-year-old little boy that I want you to know about. William Jackson. I met him or knew of him when he was just 3 years old. His mom told me at the time he was into robots and dinosaurs. And his parents were in a fight to save their kid's life. I have three daughters. I don't know if you have kids, but we all know you'd do anything for your kids. Insurance companies do not think that way, nor does the pharmaceutical industry. It's become a problem for William Jackson's family because, you know, an insurance company is going to go, well, why would we do a treatment or a trial for just one kid? And the problem is that William, who is now six, has Duchenne muscular dystrophy. It's a genetic disorder. No two cases are alike. My understanding is that his genetic code, we all have like 71 markers, 79 markers, and his goes 1 to 20 and then repeats 1 to 20. Yours doesn't. That mutation is at the root of what William is going through. There's not billions of dollars that can be made by saving his life because somebody else who also has Duchenne muscular dystrophy would have a completely different issue. The truth is that kids with William's condition don't usually live past their 20s. His mother, Katie, is the chief fiscal officer in the athletic department at Portland State. His dad, Joe, works at Southern Oregon University. They live in Medford. For our listeners listening on the Ace Sports Radio, this is happening right in your backyard. Now, William is okay. He's got friends. He loves video games in school. We're going to talk to his dad, Joe, here in just a second. His parents bought him a wheelchair that helped get him around a little bit. But there is a nonprofit biotech firm that specializes in genetic treatments that wants to take a crack at developing a gene-based therapy that is specific to William. Because there's some promising technology and some promising advancements that have happened in that space in the last couple of years. The issue is that the nonprofit and William's family now have to raise about $2.2 million for the treatment. That is a staggering figure. First installment, $800,000, due on May the 1st. Joe Jackson joining us, father of William from Southern Oregon. How did I do on setting that up, Joe?
Hi, John. I think you did overall pretty well. It's complicated, and some of the science and the details are beyond not just my capabilities, but pretty, you know, 99.9% of people don't know how some of this works. So that's the elevator pitch. I think you did well.
All right. So let's go back. Let's go back 6 years. You and Katie have this beautiful little boy. He's born. You know, do you see an issue right away, or how does he get diagnosed?
Yeah, we got diagnosed sort of in a fluky way. No symptoms for him. You know, some boys that have Duchenne miss milestones real early, you know, as early as, you know, rolling over. They don't roll over, you know, as expected, and then that starts this investigation into what's going on. And that wasn't the case for William. He, you know, was hitting his milestones and doing totally fine, or seemed totally fine. And we sort of found out this news. Like I said, it was kind of a fluke. We were leaving for an international trip when he was about one, and he was kind of under the weather. So we went to get him kind of checked out before we left and had this, you know, 15-hour flight to Europe. And so we got to get some blood work done, and that came back, and it was, there was nothing immediately urgent, and we went ahead and went on the trip. But our pediatrician, who was amazing, you know, there was a high test result in those numbers that wasn't concerning to her at the time, but she wanted to follow up on. And so, you know, six or so months later, she said, let's close the loop on that test. And that kind of started us down this track. You know, about 6 months after that, we went in and did some more blood work, and then, you know, got a call over the weekend from the pediatrician that was, you know, we didn't quite know what was going on yet, but it was clear that something was really not good. So, yeah, at that time, even when we got the confirmation, you know, we wouldn't have ever known anything. And I think if we hadn't found out it via those kind of fluky means, I mean, we probably would have gone years before we would have known for sure. A lot of families that get diagnosed really struggle through that process of figuring out what's going on. And we were lucky, but also had this, you know, curse of knowledge. Now we know this thing that we shouldn't know, and it doesn't seem like there's anything wrong, but we know it's going to be a lot to handle down the road.
I remember when he was three talking about, you know, him loving to go down a slide at the playground. Where is he developmentally right now, or how do you see this kind of manifesting itself in him?
Yeah, so it's really started to become symptomatic for him. You know, he's still able to walk right now. So that's good. You know, I would say overall for someone at his age with his condition, he's doing pretty well, but he's certainly starting to slow down. And so, you know, Duchenne kind of starts with, you start to fall off the normal curve of physical development and then plateau, and then you start to decline. And he's probably, you know, he's in that area where he's starting to slow down. So if you'll see him with his friends at school, you know, he still kind of runs, but it's very obvious he's got a kind of a funny run. And yeah, if you watch him stand up off the ground or, you know, get up or try to lift things, I mean, it's very obvious that he's sort of weak. And, you know, I like to describe it as people with Duchenne, when they use their, you know, if you go to the gym, we lift weights, we get sore, and then those muscles repair and get stronger. So that last step, that repairing and strengthening step, is what doesn't happen for people with Duchenne. So he, when he uses his muscles, he loses his muscle. Wow. And those muscle cells get replaced by, you know, fatty tissue and scar tissue instead.
That is so counterintuitive, because you would think, gosh, let's keep him active, right? Let's keep him moving around. The longer he can stay moving around, but really that's counterintuitive, and you really want to address this as soon as possible. You are also faced with the knowledge that no two cases are alike. And so the research here has not been what it is maybe with some other conditions and diseases, and the advancements haven't been there, but they are this gene therapy that you guys are looking into with the nonprofit organization. Can you tell us why now? Because I thought originally that maybe they said, hey, it would be a few years before we would even be there. Did they get an advancement, or what happened?
Yeah, so, well, there's a lot of, as you can imagine, there's a lot of factors that go into these types of treatments. And Cure Rare Disease, which is the nonprofit that we're working with, has a few dozen patients with either Duchenne or similar, you know, rare disease, genetic rare disease. And the development pipeline for all of those patients is sort of happening at different stages, because they all have, as you described, unique genetic abnormality that causes that. As they're trying to research and identify potential therapies for them, you sort of are leapfrogging around. And then, of course, all of these patients also have, you know, a variety of health issues, and they need to be well enough to receive treatment. And there's other challenges and disqualifying factors that can happen. And so there's kind of a cohort of kids with these rare diseases that are working with that organization. And it just so happens that basically William is an excellent candidate at this time. He's kind of right in the wheelhouse as far as Duchenne patients go, of he's healthy enough, but he's also old enough to potentially receive treatment. And so we've been in this pipeline, but just over the last couple months, there was this therapy identified for William's specific condition. And so I wouldn't say we jumped the line, but we sort of unexpectedly, all of a sudden, this is imminent. You know, as you said, we were looking probably 2 or 3+ years out. And so we've always known that the fundraising stage and the treatment stage would be coming, but we didn't know when. And so it got kind of, we got blindsided a little bit last month when we found out that we're on track to potentially start manufacturing in May.
We're talking to Joe Jackson. His son, William, has got Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And Joe, There's probably days where you feel helpless. You and Katie probably feel helpless, and you're just doing the best you can. And then there are days where you go, hey, we could do something about this. When you get approached by this nonprofit that says, hey, we'd like to try to do something with gene therapy that could save him, but here's the cost, $2.2 million. Do you have to sit down when you hear that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's sort of surreal. When we knew that number was going to be really large, but we figured we'd have enough of a heads up that we'd have a real ramping up period and a time to really strategize around how we were going to raise that money and what our plans were going to be. And that all just got jump started, you know, all of a sudden when we got this news last month. So, yeah, like you said, there's some times where, you know, I'll lay in bed and just be tossing and turning, thinking about those numbers and thinking about all the work that has to be done. But the reality is, when it comes to something like this, you don't have a lot of alternatives. And so there's no greater motivator than necessity. And that's kind of where we're at. And then, of course, William is lucky enough, and I am lucky enough to have Katie in our family, who is just an incredible organizer and a go-getter and a doer. And so she's kind of helped lead the charge on this. I, my head's spinning with everything that we have going on, but she's the rock, and she's kind of the energy behind it all. So we're following her lead, and we're just trying to move forward.
Tell us how the Rogue River goes into this, because for people who don't know, Joe is going to row down the Rogue River. You're going to do this in a nonstop, stretch that most people take several days to do this, but 157 miles over 36 hours. You're going down the Rogue River. Part of this is to help raise money for your son, William. And for people who are interested, weRowForWilliam.org. WeRowForWilliam.org is the website you can go if you want to donate or sponsor part of this rowing trip. But tell us what's going to happen and how you came up with this idea.
Yeah, so, I'm born and raised Oregonian. I'm from down here in Southern Oregon originally, and my family grew up rowing the Rogue. So we've been doing the Wild and Scenic section and also, you know, just day trips out on the river. And so, being on the river and rafting has been in our family for my entire life. And it's something William loves to do, and our whole family does, our whole community does. And so we got this news that we had to raise all this money, and it was, you know, the timelines were so short. We started thinking about, you know, what can we do that can kind of gather attention. And one of the other rowers that's going with me on a trip, my friend Jeremy, said, you know, we should do something that's kind of unprecedented, something that's groundbreaking, as consistent with sort of this theme of this new therapy for William that's kind of one of a kind. And so we put those things together, and we said, what if we rode the river as the fundraiser? And we got this sort of harebrained idea. Well, what if we did the whole river in as quickly as we could? And we started, you know, sketching it out and doing some math, and we're the goal is to run the whole river, so the Rogue River flows out of Lost Creek Lake, out of the dam there, and then it goes 157 miles to Gold Beach to the ocean. And so we're going to put in right at the dam in the morning, and we're going to row straight through without stopping to try to make it all the way there in about 36 hours before dark the next day. So we've got a whole bunch of gear and a whole plan. We're going to be on parts of the river at night, as you can imagine. We got a really great crew of experienced boaters, and we're going to see what we can do. So as you mentioned, our website is weRowForWilliam.org. On there, you can make individual donations. You can learn about Duchenne. You can learn about William. And then we're also fundraising by the mile of the trip. So you can sponsor a mile. You can put a group together and sponsor a mile. And we're trying to raise $5,000 for each mile of the trip. If we can do that, that'll get us to that 800,000 target that we're looking for May. If you sponsor a mile, you can name it. You can do it as a tribute to somebody or to recognize something that you're passionate about. Our community down here has lots of sections of the river that are special to them or meaningful to them for one reason or another. And so we're encouraging people to check out the map and go to the website and give what you can.
WeRowForWilliam.org is the website. If you want to help Katie and Joe and you ultimately want to help William, that's where you go. Can I ask you, how aware is William of what is going on? He's 6 years old. Part of me would want to protect him and shield him from the reality, but, you know, I'm sure he is aware that most kids are not going to the doctor as often as he goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, so he's a really bright kid. So I think that the idea of sort of keeping him in the dark altogether is impossible. But, you know, the reality is he doesn't understand. I think he understands where he's at right now. So he knows he has Duchenne. It's very obvious to him and everyone that, you know, he can't move like his friends can, and that he has some challenges physically that other people aren't dealing with. But what he doesn't understand, and what is, you know, I think too much for a six-year-old to try to comprehend, is what's going to continue to happen. And that he's going to, you know, continue to lose strength, and ultimately he's going to lose the ability to walk. And that part of it is not something that he's really aware of right now. You know, I think he's naturally a really happy-go-lucky kid. But he does, you know, he gets frustrated when he's unable to do things that others can do. And so he, overall, I think, you know, he gets it. He knows something's up. He knows Duchenne. He's met other boys and other families that we know who are dealing with Duchenne as well. But in terms of what the, you know, implications are of that, he's not really aware of that, as you can imagine.
This is such an inspired thing. I love that you're doing something. You're taking control of this. What has the response been to this point? I know you just recently launched the website, WeRowForWilliam.org. I wrote about it. You're making an appearance here. You're talking in other places. How far towards your goal are you?
Yeah, so it's been fast and furious, John. We've got we have a ticker on our website that it might not even be keeping up quite with where we're at, but we're over $200,000 raised. We just launched this whole initiative and really started going public with the website and things. It's really only been about a week. So it's been a pretty amazing response how quickly the community and our friends and family and even many, many folks we don't know at all have jumped in and shared support and shared what they can give. It's been really, really amazing. You know, John, you had the article that went out yesterday, and Katie was trying to tally some things up, but I think already just in the last, you know, 24 hours, we've seen over $25,000 come in from people who donated as a result of reading your article or hearing about it through you guys. So the farther we can go with the outreach, you know, we're trying to kind of create this network effect of if everybody shares and, you know, can reach out to a handful of people and one of those people does the same, then it can grow really, really fast. So it's really exciting. It's going well, but we got a long ways to go as well.
Well, I really wanted to bring you on, Joe, to give you a little bit of support, but also give you a chance to connect with listeners across the state, including right there in your neighborhood in Southern Oregon. And people who may know you guys may see you in the grocery store, maybe listening on the Ace Sports Radio or in Bend. Our listeners in Bend, in Portland and Eugene and into Southern Washington, I really hope that they at least, you know, at the very least, go to the website, WeRowForWilliam.org. Spread that. Share my column with your friends and family members. You know, the more people that can read it, the more you get to them, the more likely you are to have people open their wallets and go, hey, what's $100? What's, you know, maybe I'll sponsor a mile. You know, whatever you can do helps a kid, helps a little boy. And, you know, while the insurance companies might say, hey, why would we do this for one little kid? I think, you know, my reaction is, why not? Why wouldn't we do it for one little kid and for one family? And Joe, I want you and Katie to know you got a lot of people out here who are rooting for you and empathizing with you. And I know they want to see a successful outcome for your kid.
Well, we feel it. We definitely feel that support and the love right now. Absolutely. And yeah, we're not going to quit. We're going to give it all and see what we can do. Because like you said, you know, nothing's more important, but what wouldn't we do for him?
The ultimate win here, have the doctors said, Hey, they think what? What is the ultimate win right now if this gene therapy is successful in the wildest of ways?
Yeah, I mean, the ultimate win, I'll say two things about that. One is, I mentioned that he'll lose his muscle, he'll lose his strength as he gets older and as he uses them. Well, the heart is a muscle and the diaphragm is a muscle. And so while William, being able to walk and being able to run and being able to do those things that we want our kids to do and everybody wants to be able to do, the freedom that comes with that is really important. But ultimately, the most important thing is the health of his heart and his lungs and what keeps him going. So, we kind of look at it in two ways. Is that one is whatever can strengthen those parts of him and can keep him operating is kind of that's the goal, and where we can really lengthen and improve his life that way. Now, the best case scenario, sort of like the ultimate goal, would be really a cure for Duchenne, where right now his body does not produce dystrophin, which is what the activation in the body that rebuilds that muscle when it is broken down. If everything goes, sort of like the best case scenario, like you described, would be that he's able to start producing dystrophin at healthy levels, and then he can start actually strengthening his body and re-strengthening. And so that would be, I think we're all in our family a little wary of trying to dream too big. We're trying to extend William's life and give him really, good quality of life. But ultimately, the best case scenario, we would hope for a cure.
Joe Jackson, God be with you, my friend.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I do want to say one last thing, which is that my boys, I've successfully brainwashed them into becoming big Blazers fans. So okay. William wants to give a shout out to Scoot Henderson, who's his favorite Blazer, and then his younger brother Benjamin wants to give a shout out to Shaden Sharp, who's his favorite Blazer.
So I love that. All right, Scoot and Shaden, you got two big fans in Southern Oregon. I love that. Thank you, Joe.
That's right.
All right, take care. There he goes. We row for William.org. He's going to row the Rogue River. Check it out. Give it a look. See if you can do something. I always say this, and I mean this. Like, I feel like we work in the toy factory of life here sometimes on this show and in the subject matter that we cover. This is a diversion from life and all of the things that you're dealing with. And every once in a while, we encounter a family that is dealing with some stuff that's pretty heavy. Katie and Joe and their two boys, they're living this every day. So give it a look. We row for William.org if you feel moved. Leave it here.